Now we're holding on Lamed Beis about 20 lines from the bottom by the two dots.
We're a little behind.
We're on track. I mean, no, we're not really. I mean, today is Daf Lamed Gimel, so we're starting from close to the bottom of Lamed Beis on the base. We talked about Kibud Av Ve'Em, and that includes showing the various kinds of respect that you show for them. So naturally, then the next thing to talk about is Kibud Zaken, where the Torah tells us Pnei Seva Tochum V'Hodata Pnei Zaken. So now we're going to talk about dinim involving that. Tana Rabbanim. Now the pasuk says Pnei Seva Tochum V'Hodata Pnei Zaken. So what does that mean? Literally, it means you should stand up in the face of Seva. Which is white hair, the hardarita pnei zaken, you should honor the face of an elder. So, mpnei seva tochum, yachol afilu mpnei zaken ashmoi. So you would think, if it only says mpnei seva tochum, it means even a zaken ashmoi. What is ashmoi? Rashi says, means rosha va'ama oretz. So you would think that maybe you have to even stand up for him. Tosfos argues that now we're going to say that based on the continuation of the pasuk, you do. However, though Tosfos is bothered by that because if he's a Rosha, then why would there be a mitzvah to honor him b'chlal? So therefore, Tosfos learns, and then several number of others show him that no, Ashmoi doesn't mean a Rosh of Amoritz. It means Meloshin Shoyim, Meloshin empty. So it means an Amoritz. So it means an Amoritz. Various Rishonim explain we don't mean. Now you have, for example, let's say Gemara in Pesachim that talks about Amoritz. We're there, Meforshim explain that we're talking about an Amoritz who's over Averus Lahachas. So that would be a Rosha. So here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about Parsha, the person who didn't have a chance to learn. Yeah. Anyway, so you would think Afilu Pnei Zaken Ashmoi Tamud Lema Zaken. Therefore, the pasuk says V'Adar to Pnei Zaken. The word zaken specifically means a chacham. Shenema esfali shivim ishmi zikne Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe, gather together for me 70 of the skenim of Yisrael. So the point, and now there the pasuk continues. Asher yadaita kim zikne on b'shoterov. That it's fine, Ellie. Ellie, it's fine. Relax. Yeah. So now the pasuk continues over there. Asher yadaita kim zikne on b'shoterov. That you know that they're the elders and the leaders of the people. So we're not just talking about stam old people. We're talking about people who are distinguished and deserve to be members of the Sanhedrin. So therefore, we see that the word zaken means a chacham. Marsha points out also the fact is we see that they wish to put ruach hakodesh on them. So then they had to be chacham. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the word zaken refers to somebody who acquired chachma. Rashi has the gear says zesh kana chachma, which is how it's usually quoted. Zaken is zesh kana. So and where shenema Hashem kononi yreishis dauke, as we find that the Torah is described as the first thing that Hashem was koina. Now you have in Pirkei Avos you have Chamisha Kinyanim Kana Akadosh Baruch Hu Bo'Olamo, but Maharshal says Torah is the first one of them. Therefore, we're going to assume if it says Zesha Kona means that he acquired the first thing of the first one of the things that Hashem was Kona Bo'Olam. So now, what is Rabbi Yisak really arguing with the Chachamim? We're going to see later on in the Gemara after we quote the whole Braisa. Continues the Braisa, Yochu Yamin Riponov Mokim Rochuk. You would think that you have to stand in the presence of the Zokin from far away. No, Tamad Lema Tokum Vahadarita. The Pasuk says you should stand up and you should honor. So the Kima only applies where there's Hidru, where it's clearly doing it to honor him, so not when it's from a very far distance away. You would think maybe the Hadarta means you should honor him with money. Like, for example, you find Loiseda Pnei Godol, another psukim like that, you're not allowed to favor somebody in judgment. So maybe over here it also means the Hadarta Pnei Zaken means you have to give him money, or at least maybe it means, as we're going to talk about soon, that maybe you have to have Chisorin Kiss in order to honor the Talmud Chacham. No, Talmud Lema, Tokum Bahadarta. Again, we have the pasuk puts Tokum and Bahadarta together, from which we learn Makima Shein Bachisorin Kis, just like the getting up doesn't involve Chisorin Kis, as we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara. Af Hidur Shein Bachisorin Kis, the same way the Hidur has to be the kind that doesn't involve Chisorin Kis, so not something where you're paying him money. continues the Braise, Yocho Yaman Ponder Mibesakisim Besamerchot. You would think maybe you stand up in honor of the Talmud Chacham, even if you're in the bathroom or in the Besamerchot, which are not places of covered. Again, talking about Darta, Loya Marti, Kima Elab Makamashiach Hidr, Kima only applies where there is Hidr, where there's the concept of honoring him. In a place like that, Hidr is not Shayach, so therefore Kima is not relevant either. Continues the Braisa, Yochu Yatzim Einav Kamishalei Ra'ohu. You would think a person can close his eyes and pretend as if he didn't see the Zokin, which the Gemara is going to ask later on. What does that mean? Are we asking about a Rosha? So we'll see soon in the Gemara what it means. Anyway, so you would think, Tamad Lema, Tokum V'yareisa. The Pasuk continues in that same Pasuk, V'yareisa Me'alekecha, meaning Dovra Mosul Olev, Nemabre V'yareisa Me'alekecha. Whenever you have a mitzvah that involves the heart, where a person can always claim that I had a different intention in mind, the Eibishter is the only one who knows the truth, then the Pasuk always says on it, V'yareisa Me'alekecha. So Hashem will know whether he sincerely Taka didn't notice him or whether he's pretending. Reb Shimon Elazar, I mean, nine lezokin shalei yatriach. Now, how do we learn? On the other hand, the zokin himself should not be matriach the people; that people should stand up in front of him. If he can go on a different route, so as not to, then better he should do that. Chamadlem is zokin v'yareisa. In the pasuk, you have the word zokin, and right after it, you have the word v'yareisa. So the v'yareisa is not just addressed to the person who's standing up for the zokin; it's also addressed to the zokin himself. You have a little yiras shemayim, and don't be matriach on people. Isi ben Yehuda mipnei sefer tokum afilu kol sefer v'mashma. Now Isi ben Yehuda said, not like we said before, the Tanakhama had said that mipnei sefer tokum means only a Talmud Chacham and not a Zokin Ashmoi, however you define Ashmoi. Isi ben Yehuda is saying that no, afilu kol sefer v'mashma, any old person is included. And later on, by the way, the Gemara explains the halacha is like Isi ben Yehuda, so the post can bring the discussion to how old does a person need to be for that. So the mainstream understanding is it means 70. On the other hand, like you haven't picked up, it's been Shishim Lezikna, and Shivim Laseva. On the other hand, they bring from that Arizal that Api Kabbalah, you should start standing for the person from age 60. So, yeah. Okay. So, now let's start analyzing the Braisa. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Hainu Tanakama. The Tanakama had said that a Zokin means a Chochem. Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying that Zokin is Zeshakona Chochem. So, what's the difference between them? The answer is, Ikabenau Yannick Bechakim. The nafkamina between them would be if a person is a young Talmud Chacham. Tanakama sub a Yannick Bechakim loy. The Tanakama says, yes, of course, the word Zokin means a Chacham, but the fact is, the word Zokin does also mean old. And the ones that were appointed to go together with Moshe and lead the Jewish people are in fact old. They're not young people. So therefore, the Tanakama would be saying, when do you have to stand for them? Is only if they're both. They're old and a Talmud Chacham, but not if they're young. Rabbi Yisraeli saw after the Yannick Bechakim, and Rabbi Yisraeli holds even if he's young and a Talmud Chacham, because he holds that the word Zokin exclusively means Zeshkana Chachma, and there's no Indian of being old in it at all. So it doesn't matter how young he is, you still have to stand up for him. Okay, next. My time at Rabbi Yisraeli. So why does Rabbi Yisraeli hold that way? Taka, why does he take the word Zokin completely out of its pshat and say that it doesn't mean old at all, but rather exclusively a Talmud Chacham? Because he'll tell you, if you're going to think like Tanakama says that the word seva, that in other words, that the word, so in other words, that when it's, so in other words, they have like this, pnei seva tokum v'hodata pnei zokin. Fine, we're saying that the word zokin means a Talmud Chacham, but we're saying the seva, again, doesn't mean, now Isi ben Yehuda had held that seva means any old person, even a zokin ashmo, even as the Gemara is going to go on to say later on, even a goy. But the Tanakama is saying that it means that Zokin means he's a Talmud Chacham and Seva means that he's old. But if you're going to argue, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, those are both referring to the same person, so he has to be Seva and a Zokin, well then, Imkein Nichtu Rachmanim Epnei Seva Zokin Tokum Bahadarta. Then the Pasuk should say the word Seva and Zokin together. In front of a Seva who is also a Zokin, you should stand up and you should honor him. My time at the Palginu Rachmana, why instead does the Torah split it up with Ne Seva Tokum and then Vahadarta Pnei Zokin? So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Aglili is saying, evidently, there are two different things. Seva is one thing, Zokin is another. So therefore, it comes out that even if he's young and a Talmud Chacham, because just the fact that he's a Zokin alone is enough to, meaning a Talmud Chacham, is enough to stand up for him. Now, he's not agreeing with Issi ben Yehuda necessarily and saying that that you have to stand up for a Zok and Ashmori as well, because then the fact is he'd be saying the same thing as Issi ben Yehuda, says Rashi. But at least he holds that they have to be two different things. The fact that he's a Zokin is reason enough alone to stand up for him. The Tanakama, or so what is the Tanakama answer
maybe,
to that?
Maybe that's why Rashi said Zok and Ashmori is something in the Russia. But according to Tosis, Zok and Ashmori, so what is he adding?
Right. So yeah. So that's yeah. In fact, that in fact that the, in fact that Tosfos discusses that point and says that you can't say after all. So what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili saying? Is he saying that? So what are you going to say? That are you going to say that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying that even a Zok and Ashmori and Issi ben Yehuda is saying a Goy? We are going to talk later on about the Indian of standing up for a Goy, but not because of the Pasuk, but rather Rabbi Yochanan is going to give a reason why to stand up for them. So Tosfos says, in other words, like this, if it had, Rabbi Yosef really would say, if it didn't say Seva, if it didn't say the word Seva, then you would think he has to be that the Zokin and Chacham. So the word Seva comes to tell us that one all by itself is enough. That's how Rabbi Yosef really says it. So therefore, in other words, he's saying it's not that you have to stand up for any Seva. The fact is you only have to stand up for a Tamad Chacham. But if it only said Zokin, then you would think that it means only if he's old, and therefore it mentions Seva to clarify that. Tosfos also mentions the point that if he's a Yannick V'chakim, if he is young and a Tamar Chacham, in order to have to stand up for him, then, or in order for even an older person to have to stand up for him, he would have to be Muflag. He would have to be a very distinguished Tamar Chacham, much, much different than the regular run of Tamar Chachamim. Then it's appropriate to stand up for him as a Yannick V'chakim. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara of the Tanakama my time. So why does the Tanakama hold then that it means only if he's old and a Talmud Chacham? He says, Yisak dat, I'm Rabbi Yosef Lili. Yeah, but if you're going to say like Rabbi Yosef Lili, that it means that Seva and Zokin are two separate things, imken nichrash mana, mipnei Seva tokum vahadauta, and then tokum vahadauta pnei Zokin. It should repeat the words tokum vahadauta twice, once for each one. You have to stand up for the Seva and honor him, and you have to stand up for the Zokin and honor him with the loy kosel hachi. So the Tanakama would say, since it doesn't say like that, shema mino chadhu, therefore we learn that it's one chiyuv, so only if he's both a zokin and a chah, only if he's seva and a zokin, then you have to stand up for him. And then the shita lo noda lami brings a girsa over here that the Gemara then adds a line that Rabbi Yosef Glili would be saying that you still need to exclude zokin ashmoi, so therefore we need to have the word seva and zokin and zokin put together over here. So that way it makes it clear that a zokin ashmoi not unlike Issi ben Yehuda. Okay. Amar, now let's go further in the braise. So we said Yocho Yadrenu b'mamon. You would think that the Hidru means to honor him with money, like giving him money or something. Tamad lemer talking v'hadarta makim shein b'chisarin kis af Hidru shein b'chisarin kis. So you're asking the kima less b'chisarin kis. You're telling me that getting up always does not involve chisarin kis. Me lay a skin into kanokiv maganisa. Imagine you have a case where a person is busy piercing holes in pearls, which is a very skilled job, and a person gets a lot of money for that. Meanwhile, getting up for the Talmud Chacham, or bottom of Malachda, and he's taking off time from his work. So there is chesed in case involved. Ella, no. What we have to understand is, so in other words, what's the point? Because by definition, kima doesn't involve chesed and kiss. Therefore, we can understand that the definition of bidur also doesn't involve chesed and kiss. But there could be a kima that involves chesed and kiss. So no, ela akish kima v'hidur. Rather, what it means is, what the braisa means is, we're making a hekish back and forth between kima and hidur. So like this, ma hidur she'en rei bitul. The word the hidur involves that there's no bitul malacha involved, because the word hidur involves, Rashi says, it involves that you're honoring him somehow. It can involve honoring him with money or with words, but it doesn't involve necessarily hidur. Does not involve bitul malacha. The definition of hidur, the definition of honoring somebody, doesn't involve taking off time from work. So we learn from that, af kima she'en ba bitul, therefore kima also has to be something that does not involve bitul malacha. And then we do the gzera shava the other way around. Va'akish nami hidur l'kima, ma kima she'en ba chisarin kis, af hidur she'en ba chisarin kis. So therefore it has to be both. It has to be that there's no chisarin kis and no bitul malacha. Mikan Omru, based on this, the Chachamim said, Ein Bali Umanuyas Rashoyin Lamed Bnei Tamar Chachamim B'Shar Shar Iskim Malachdom. People who are working are not Rashoyin. We'll explain in a second what Rashoyin means, to stand up in front of Tamar Chachamim when they're doing their work. Now, the word rashoi can mean allowed to, or it can mean have to. So Tosfos first asks, the word rashoi, ein balei amnus rashoin, on the face of it means they're not allowed to. Well, why shouldn't they be allowed to? If they want to stand up for the Talmud Chacham, what's the problem? So Tosfos explains, let's say they're working for other people. So then in that case, they're not allowed to be stealing from their employer, right? On the other hand, Tosfos says not necessarily. The word rashoyim could mean chayovim. Maybe they're not obligated to. They could if they want to, if they're working for themselves. But ein rashoyim means they're not obligated to. And the idea is, again, because kimo and hidur is not supposed to involve bitul malach. But the Gemara says, "Veloy, you're telling me that not you don't stand up in front of Talmud Chachamim." V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bikurim when it describes how people would come from the different towns with their procession, with the Bikurim, with the ox, with the golden horns, and all of that. So, Kol Bali Umanuris Omni Mekneim, all the craftsmen in Yerushalayim would stand up in honor of the group. V'sholem v'shlomim, and they would ask about their peace. Shalom aleichem, how are you doing? V'omim lachem, lahem atchenu anshim mokem pleni boyachem l'sholem. Our brothers, the people of such and such a place, your coming should be in peace. So we see that the craftsmen do have to stand up for the people or bring them before him. And the Gemara is assuming the same thing would apply to the Menachem Chachamim. So now again, if we say in the previous note, if we say in the previous piece that ein rashoyin means they're not allowed to, then we're saying not only here they're allowed to, but they have to. If we're saying that they don't have to, then the question is, the fact is, we're saying over here that the fact is that they do have to. So one way or the other, it seems to contradict. So the answer is that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that's exactly it. Mipneim oimdim, they stand up in honor of the people who are bringing bikurim. Mipnei Talmid Chachamim ein oimdim, but they don't have to stand up in front of Talmid Chachamim. Omar Rabbi Yosi Ba'oven. So from this, Rabbi Yosi Ba'oven says, "Boy, Rabbi Eikam, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Come see how precious is a mitzvah that's being done in its time. The bikurim now, where there's a deadline to bring it. Shari mipneim oimdim, mipnei Talmid Chachamim ein oimdim. You see that the bikurim are so important." That we should show such love for it that we should even do things that we don't even do for Talmid Chachamim and stand up for them. From this, by the way, we get, for example, that by a bris, when they bring in the baby, everybody stands up in honor of the mitzvah. Chaviv mitzvah shaita. That's one example of it. So the Gemara says the Dilma shiny hosam. Maybe that's not necessarily a solid proof. Dim kainat machshulam ma'asid lover. After all, if the people of Yerushalayim don't stand up in front of the people who are bringing Bikurim, then you might be machshel them in the future. They might say, the people of Yerushalayim think we're nothings, and then therefore, why should we bother coming with Bikurim the following year? So therefore, maybe it's meant to encourage them to continue coming with Bikurim, not because Chaviva Mitzvah Shaita.
That can be for people to come because Yerushalayim is
Hashem. So Ben Yehoyada asks him that. He says, what do you think the people are bringing Bikurim just in order to get covered from the people of Yerushalayim? So he says different. He says like this. We know, so the whole procession with Bikurim was done with a whole shturim. They have the ox with the horns plated with gold, and they're playing flutes and they're singing and everything. So they're making a whole shturim, they're making a whole tumult of it. So now if the people of Yerushalayim don't stand up in front of them, the people who are bringing the Bikurim are likely to think, not we need the covered, but the fact that they're not even bothering means why should we make a tumult about it in the future? Next year when we bring Bikurim, we'll just each person will take his basket and come on his own. So in order to encourage them in the future to continue making a shturim about it and do it with a chayus is why we want the people of Yerushalayim to stand up in front of them. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Omamai, we said in the Braise, Yochel Yamnu Ponim Vesa Kisim Vesa Melchatz, you would think you have to stand up in honor of the Talmud Chacham in a bathroom or in a bathhouse. So, and the Braise is saying that no, because there's Tokum Bahadauta, so it's only in a place where there's Hidur. So the Gemara says, Veloy, so you're telling me you don't have to stand up in front of them in such a place? It happened once Reb Chiya was sitting in the bathhouse. Reb Shimon Berebi passed by. Veloy kom mikame. And Reb Chiya did not stand up in his honor. And he was a Talmud Chacham, Reb Shimon Berebi.
I don't get it, because it's a separate place. You come,
you're thinking of the Bote Kisses nowadays, where everybody has their own stall. Well, back then,
even then,
first of all, one second. Here, first of all, it's Beimas Chusa. It's a bathhouse. It's a bathhouse. So up here, was in the bath. Think of like the mikveh. You have a zillion people over there. But even in a bathroom, sometimes it had. It's true that you usually have, everybody has their privacy, but not always. You have it mentions in the Bismikdash, you had a basic kisishal cupboard where only one person could go in at a time, but in other places, Labdavka. You even have, there's a Gemara that mentions, by the way, that when women go to the bathroom, there's a takana from Rabbi Yosi, that women should go together, so there's not a problem of yichud. This way they'll be talking with one another and men will realize and not come in there. So yeah, but anyway. But here was a bathhouse anyway. So the Reb Chiya did not stand up for Reb Shimon Bar Devi, the Ikbad, and Reb Shimon was upset about it. Not again, not that he needs the COVID, but the fact is a din is a din. But also Amalei La'avua, and he comes tells his father, Rebbe, Shnei Chumoshim Shanisila de Sefer Tilim. I taught Reb Chiya two Chumoshim in Sefer Tilim. So what does that mean? Rashi says it means Parshat two fifths of Tilim. I taught him the Midrashim and the Agadis on it. So there's 150 Kapitlach in Tilim. So it means he's saying I taught him 60 Kapitlach. Tosfos says Shnei Chumoshim can mean two of the five books of Tilim. We know that Tilim is divided into Chamisha Sfarim, and after every Sefer, we say the Yiratzin and all that. Everyone ends with an Omein except for the end, except for the last one. So he's saying, I taught him two books of Tilim with Mefarshim. V'loy Omein Mipana, and he didn't stand up in my honor. The two, and here's another example, Bar Kapara, the Amilot of Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. Another example is Bar Kapara, or some say of Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, or on the side of it here it says Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, have a Yossi Be Maschosa. Again, he was sitting in the bathhouse. All the also Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi, and again Rabbi Shimon Bar Rabbi came in, Volekami Kamei, and Rabbi Bar Kapara, or whoever it was, didn't get up in front of him, the Ikpar, and he was upset. Also Amalei Lavua, Shnei Shlish Shlish, Shanis Levitoras Kainim. I taught him two thirds of one third of Torah. Toras Koinim is the Medrash Halacha on Sefer Vayikra. Whenever you have, when the Gemara quotes all over the place, Tanan Abanan, it says such and such an apostate. Here we had, for example, Tanan Abanan, Mipnei Sefer Tokum, that kind of thing comes from Toras Koinim. It goes through the Psukim and Daushins them and learns the Halachas from them. So now, the whole Medrash is called Toras Koinim. One third of it covers one third of Chumash Vayikra. Let's say, for example, Parsha, Vayikra Tzav and Shmini, let's say. So now, Reb Shimon Bar Rabbi is saying, I taught Bar Kapara, whoever it is, two thirds of that section. So that's a substantial amount of Torah. But I'm going to be punished, and he didn't stand up in my presence. And Rebbe says to Reb Shimon to answer both of them, Shema Bahen Yoshev Maharev. Maybe on the contrary, maybe Reb Chiya or Bar Kapara or whatever was busy thinking into what you had just taught him in Tilim or in Toras Koinim, and that's why he didn't stand up. Right, one second. Taima de Bahen Yoshev Maharev. So the implication seems to be, why is there a heter maybe for them to not stand up? Only because they didn't realize, because they're fartif, didn't think about it. Apparently, if it weren't for that, they would have been obligated to stand up. So this is in the bathhouse. So what are you telling me? They're potter in the bathhouse. The answer is like Tasha. There's a difference between the inner chamber and the outer chamber. Their bathhouses in those days were generally divided into three parts. You had the outer area, which is everybody is still dressed over there. They'd have shops over there that have various things or whatever. Yeah, as far as Shmat comes up. Yeah. Then they had the middle area where people are getting undressed. So some people are dressed and others are undressed. Then you have the inner area, which is where the actual baths are, and everybody there is undressed. So when you're in Bati Gavoi, when you're in the inner chamber where everybody is undressed, then Taka, you don't need to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, because that would be like in the mikveh, for example, it's not a place with Hidr. The stories involving Reb Shimon Bar Rabbi and these other Chachamim were in Bote Baroi. They were in the outer area where everybody is dressed. So that's a place of Hidr, and they should have stood up for him, except that Rabbi tells him they're fartift in their learning. So the Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. In fact, it's very logical to say that that's what it was. Because after all, the Amar Rabbi Babachana Amar Biechanan, B'chom Mokam Mutu Laharu Chutzim Vesem Vesem Kise. After all, you're allowed to think words of Torah anywhere except for the bathhouse and the bathroom. So therefore, if Reb Chiya or Bar Kapara or whoever was fatifed and thinking into the Medrashim Antilim or Torah's Koyim or whatever, necessarily it has to have been Babati Baroi. It has to be in the area where everybody's standing clothed. Because otherwise, what are they doing thinking? But the Gemara says not necessarily. Dumala oin say shiny. You could argue that it's different where it's an oinus. Sometimes you have a person has been learning Torah before he goes into those places, and even in there, it's very hard for him to distract himself, and he still continues thinking about it. So therefore, so you could say la'onso is different. By the way, there's a Gemara in Zvachim that mentions about another one of the Chachamim from that generation, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon. One of the Chachamim, I think Bar Kapara, mentions over there a halacha that he learned from Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon in the bathroom. How do you learn Torah from somebody? Because the Gemara says Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon was so fartift in Torah that not only he couldn't avoid thinking about Torah in the bathroom, he couldn't even avoid speaking about it. It was also la'onsei. And Reb Chiya or Bar Kapara or whoever it was over there overheard it and learned that halacha from him. So, but here we're saying only thinking. But yeah, Tosfos in fact brings from the Medrash that this was an example of Soid Hashem Liyurei. Rebbe is saying maybe Reb Chiya or Bar Kapara or whatever is fartift in there. It's not even a maybe. Reb Chiya afterwards says, Yovei Alai, I swear that I was actually thinking about the Sefer Tehillim. I was actually thinking about the Midrashim that Reb Shimon and Reb Rebbe had taught me, and therefore I didn't realize it was there. So yeah. So Rebbe had Ruach HaKodesh about it, yeah. Next, we said in the Braisa, Yocho Yatzim Enov Kmishal Oroho, then you would think that a person can close his eyes and as if he didn't see the Chacham. So Gemara asked, Otter Brashi Yaskinan, what is the Braisa addressing Rishoyim? What do you need a posit from that? He's over on talking about Dauta Pnei Zakin. So the posit, we don't need a special limud from the posit that you're not allowed to do that. Just like you don't need a special limud that you're not allowed to do any other of it. Ella, no, what it means is, you would think maybe a person is allowed to close his eyes before the time of the chiyuv comes. We're going to say further on that in general, for a Talmud Chacham, you stand up for him only when he's within your 4 amos. So you would think you see the Talmud Chacham approaching from 10 amos away, you're going to close your eyes so that by the time he comes to within your 4 amos, you're not going to see him and you're going to pretend like you didn't know he's coming. So he's not a Rosha, but Tekimotas Man Chiyuva Holy Chosile. So when it comes the time of the Chiyuv, he doesn't see him. Dikoyim Mekamein, stand up for him. Talmud Lama Tokum Vyareisa, you still have to have Yiras Shemaim. You still have to realize that the Eibishter knows what's going on. Okay. Tana, Ezui Kima Sheyeshbo Hidur. So what is Kima that involves Hidur? How close does he have to be that it's showing that you're standing up in his honor? Hevi Emes Adal Ramas. So that would be when he's within 4 amps. However, Abaya says that would only apply when it's not Rabbi Muvak, his main Rebbe, that he learned most of his knowledge of Torah from him. But when it's a Rav Muvak, where he actually learned most of his Torah from him, Maloy Einav, then he has to stand up even when he sees the top. He's as far as the eye can see. Now, not literally the eye as far as the eye can see. You might see it miles away. The shach actually brings on Shulchan Aruch, brings from the smack, that would be 266 and two-thirds amos away. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions, in connection with the mitzvah of priko te'ina, the mitzvah that you see a yid whose animal has fallen down and you need to help unload and reload it, that the shear is you see him from that distance away, then the same thing that would apply over here. Where do we get by the Gemara mentions over there that amount is called a ris. It's one part in 7.5 of a mil, the 2/15 of a mil. I once had actually a Yossel Keller who used to live here in town, and now he lives in Florida. He once told me an interesting chap. Where did they get to 266 and 2/3 amas? Where does it come from? Well, he says maybe like this: an ama is approximately 1.5 feet. So they may have had a measurement similar to our foot, which is, in other words, so 2/3 of an ama. So if you figure like that, then this risk comes out to be 400 of those units, which is a nice round number. So maybe they instead of dividing a mil into 2,000 amas, maybe they also divided into 3,000 of those type of feet, and then a risk would be 400, would be 400 of those, which is a nice round number.
But now you could understand what the Klerim of the Gemara and Tapa Dabin was, if it's a chassan kiss,
right? That's true, because if you have to stand up for the Rabbi Mover, if you have to stand up when it's 200 odd amos away, that's true, yeah.
For a long time.
That's true. By the way, the post can talk about that there's also, for example, that Amar talks about, let's say you have Tamin Chachamim who sit and learn together and they're asking and answering each other's questions. They may be Yesh Oimim, that they're considered like a Rav Mova, because you learn a tremendous amount of your Torah from discussing with your Chaverim. And then also you have the din that a muflag b'chachma, but again, a very distinguished and unusually great Talmud Chacham, you have to stand up for him from a distance, even if he's not Rabbi Yom Murach. So imagine, for example, you were to go into, let's say, one of the big yeshivas nowadays, and the Rosh Yeshiva comes in, even if he's not, you never learned anything from him, but he is a Talmud Chacham muflag, you would still have to stand up for his own, for his honor. Yeah. So the Gemara continues. When Abaya would see the ears of Rabbi Yosef's donkey that was coming, Habakoyim, he would stand up. In other words, then he knows Rabbi Yosef is close. So even though he didn't see Rabbi Yosef himself yet, all he saw was the ears of the donkey. I guess he was able to recognize that.
The ears of the donkey is different, much different
from
one ear.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. If you live around donkeys, if people ride around on donkeys all the time, then you get to know. I don't know.
All donkeys have big ears.
Yeah, but I don't know.
He was coming around the corner.
You know what? You know what, Ellie? If nowadays you can tell, for example, you can tell a person's car from a distance. So then you can tell a person's donkey from a distance. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Another example, Abaye have a rochiv chamra. Abaye himself one time was riding a donkey, but kamaskia gudad nahar sagi. He was riding along the banks of the river Sagia. Yosef and Masharshia, but Rabbanan beidach gisera. Masharshia and Chachamim were sitting on the other side, but they didn't stand up in his honor. Omelahus, Abaye says, Valav, Rav Muvakana. Aren't I your Rav Muvak? Shouldn't you be standing up for me? Now, it's true. We said before, the Talmud Chacham shouldn't be matriach on the people, but they still have a responsibility to stand up. And there's also Mephoshim talk about there's a difference between in private and public. In public, you don't want to be you don't want to too often avoid it because you want people to have respect for Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Anyway, so Omrulei Lava Daitin, they said we didn't realize you. We were busy. We were distracted. Yeah. We didn't realize you were there. Okay. Now we said Reb Shimon Elazar Omer Minayin Lazokin Shalo Yatriach. We said, how do we know the Zokin himself should not be matriach the people? Tamalem is Zokin v'yareisa. So Amar Abaye, Naktina, we have the Kabbalah, the imakif chaye, that if the Talmud Chacham goes the long way around, he'll live long in the source of that. So sure enough, Abaye makif, so Abaye used to do that, he would go the long way around. And Reb Zera makif and Reb Zera used to do the same kind of thing.
Not to bother people
too much, right?
Although Abaye didn't live long.
Abaye Taka, well, he lived, so Abaye lived to 60. If he was B'nai, that's different. Okay. Ravina have a Yosef Kamedid of Yom Yimidifti. Ravina was one time sitting and learning as a Talmud in front of Yom Yimidifti. Cholofa, who gavra kamev le michsi reisha. A person passed by without his head covered. Now, we talked about the other day. Does it mean that most people in those times did not wear a yarmulke b'chlal? Or does it mean that they wouldn't wear a second covering? Whatever. When he's in front of Talmud Chachamim, he ought to be covering his head at least. Omar. So he says, Ravina says, Kama chotzif ho gavra, look how chutzpedik this guy is. That he doesn't cover his head in front of the Chachamim. Omalei, so Rabbi Yemiya says, Dumum Mos Machasya, maybe this fellow is from Mos Machasya, the Gisi Barabonan, where they're very familiar, they're on very intimate terms with the Chachamim, because the city is full of Chachamim, so therefore they feel like we're on the same level as them. So does that mean that the guy should taka be covering his head and they got careless there in Mosul Machasya, or does it mean that maybe there is in fact a justification for it, the Meiri says. Agav, by the way, you have a story in a medrash along that one time Rabbi Akiva and some of his chaverim are sitting together and a boy passes by also without his head covered, and one of them says such a chutzpanyak, he must be a mamzer, and another one says he must be a ben anida, and Rabbi Akiva says he's both a mamzer and a ben anida, and they went and asked his mother, and sure enough it turned out that Rabbi Akiva was right. What a person acts in a chutzpanyak way like that, then yeah. I've seen somebody claiming that maybe the kid in that story is Osa Ish, who was Taka Mamzer, maybe it was a Ben Anida also, who knows? Okay. Anyway, we said in the Braise, Isi ben Yehuda, Omer Pnei Seva Tokum, Vafilo Kol Seva Mashman. Now, Isi ben Yehuda had said that you have to stand up for any old person. So the halacha is like that, even a yid who's not a Talmud Chacham. Again, Rashi had said before, Zokin Ashmoi means even Rosha, but Amoritz. Tosfot said not if he's a Rosha, but just if he's an Amoritz. Yeah. Rabbi Yochanan have a koi mekames sovi darmoi. Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, would stand up in honor even of Goyisha old people. Omar, because he would say, not because there's a mitzvah to do it, mitzad mepnei seva tokum, but kama harpaski odu alayhu. How many events, how many life events have happened to them? Meaning Rashi says they've lived so long, they've seen many oisus and moifsim from Hashem, they've seen many nisim from Hashem. So even though maybe they're goyim, they don't recognize Hashem in the proper way, but still the very fact that they've experienced all those things is reason enough that we should honor them. Have passed over these people. That in other words, so they may not appreciate what they've seen, but we can take a lesson from their life events and get more respect for Hashem. So for that reason alone, Rava mekam loikoi. Now Rava, on the other hand, when he saw old people, he wouldn't stand up himself. Hidu ovid lahu, but he would make them a hidu, like he would move a little bit, like as if he's going to get up for them. Abaye yohiv yodel sovi. Abaye would give them a hand. So again, we're talking about Goyisha old people. According to Rashi, it seems we're talking about old Goyim in this whole piece over here. But the Shiltus actually we'll talk about in a minute, maybe not. Anyway, Abaye wouldn't stand up for them himself, but he would give them a hand that they could lean on him as they're passing by. Rava Meshadr Shluchay, Rava wouldn't do that himself, but he would send a shliach to do that. Rav Nachman, Meshadeg Goizoi, and similarly, Rav Nachman would send his servants. Rav Nachman was from the family of the Rosh Galusa, so he had servants. He had servants and whatever official was in front of available to him. So he would send that. He would send them to help the scan him. Omar, and he would say, "I can't do it myself. It would be a bizarrion of the Torah." He loved Torah. After all, if it weren't for the Torah, Kama Nachman Ba'aba Ika B'Shuka. Consider how many Nachman Ba'abas there are in the street. So only because I learned Torah does that make me special. So therefore, I can't be Mevatel, I can't be Moichel on the cover of the Torah to that extent to go and actually help these guys out. Now, Rashi brings another explanation over here that the opposite, that Abaya Yohiv Yada Lasavi would mean the other way around, that Abaya wants the old people to stand up in his honor, he being a Talmid Chacham, and therefore he would help them, he would give them his hand so that they could stand up more easily. And the same way Rava would send his Shluchim to help the people stand up, and so forth. However,
I thought that means that he would lean on them.
Oh, so Rashi says, right, right. Mechabed atzmi v'zkenim, a poshut yodalem, she showed who alayim. You're right. So according to that second explanation in Rashi, Abaya himself would stick out his hand and use them to lean on when he's passing by, as a that they should show him covered. And Rava would send his shluchim to tell them that they should come out and honor him, and Rav Nachman would do the same thing. Rashi says no. Yohiv Yoda doesn't mean that you stretch out your hand to lean on somebody else. Yohiv Yoda always means that you're stretching out your hand to help somebody else. With that said, though, the She'iltus gives an explanation on this Gemara, which is that he says, we're talking about over here, for not like Rashi that we're talking about over here, about Goyish old people. We're talking about Jews, and we're talking about the fact is they do have a mitzvah of Kima and Hiddur. So therefore, in fact, the Shilt says, Koyfin alat Tzibur. We force the Tzibur to do this. So therefore, Abaya and Rava and Rav Nachman are doing that each in their old way. And the point is, again, that even though the Chacham shouldn't be Matriach the Tzibur, but in front of the Hamoin Am, you want the Hamoin Am to realize you have to honor Tamid Chachamim, and therefore, to that extent, you can be Koyfa on it.
So if you give respect, then you have long life.
If the person himself gives respect to Tamid Chachamim, one thing that says is that he himself, it helps him develop Yiras Shemayim. They say we're talking about that, but he's talking, the Yarei Samei Lekecha, that itself will help you grow in Yiras Shemayim. So the Gemara continues, Omer of Aivu, Omer of Yanai, Ein Tamid Chacham, Rashoi Laman, Bnei Rabbi, El Shachris V'Aivis. A Tamid Chacham is not allowed to stand up in front of his Rebbe only once in the morning and once in the evening. G'day Shalo Yekvoid Merub and Mekvoid Shemayim. It shouldn't be that the honor of your Rebbe is greater than the honor of Hashem. You daven to Hashem mainly only in the morning and the evening. So, or you say Krishma only in those times. So therefore, it's not appropriate to... There is some discussion about that. Again, maybe Rabbi, first of all, maybe Rabbi Movak is different, but also what about, for example, Tosfos asked the question we had before, for example, when Rava was serving his guests by the wedding of his son, and they didn't stand up for him. And he was machbid, and he said, "What Hanu Rabbanan, Bahanu Lav Rabbanan? You think you're greater Tamar Chachamim, and the other ones are Papa and Ravuna Bereid Yeshua or not? So why didn't Rava think? Well, maybe they already stood up for him that morning and that evening, and therefore they already used up their quota."
And same thing said about the bathroom. Same thing said about
the water. So Tosfos says no. The vote is this that we're saying about the Shachris V'Aivis is only when they're living in the Rav's house. So when they're constant bnei bias by him, so then they probably stood up Shachris V'Aivis. But other Talmidim who don't live with him, they have to stand up no matter how many times a day, not because it's true. Technically, they should not need to every time, but you don't want other people to be choshed that they're not standing up in front of the Rav. And also then Tosfos says, even if they're living in Beis Arav, if they're upon him chadoshes, if there are other people there who haven't been there before, then you'd also have to stand up for the same reason, because they're not going to know that you stood before. And there's discussion of other there's discussion among other Rishonim about ins and outs of this. Again, Ein Rashoi can mean Ein Chayev. Maybe it means he's not obligated to. Maybe he could do it more times if necessary. So we said So Gemara says Meisri. I have a contradiction though. Didn't we just say in the Braisa of Shimon Alaza Ominayim Lazokin Shalayatriach? How do we know that the Zokin himself should not be Matriach the people to stand up for him? Tamalem Zokin Biyoreisa. We said that the Zokin himself should fear Hashem. But Yamat Shachas V'Avis Bilvad. If you're saying that anyway, you're only supposed to stand up for him in the morning and in the evening. Amayla Nidrach. Why shouldn't he be Matriach to them? Chiyuvahu. After all, it's a chiyuv for them to do that. It's not so much to do it twice a day. El alav kula yom. Doesn't that mean that they have a chiyuv to stand up all the time? And the answer is no, not necessarily. La'olam shachris v'avis bovad. No, you could say it means only in the morning and the evening. Still, as much as possible, the Talmud Chacham should not be matriyachim. With the provisions that we said before, again, that you don't want the hamoyna am to think they don't have to respect Talmud Chacham at all, so therefore, when they're around, then you need to act with them. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Elazar, kol Talmud Chacham she'ein oymin b'nei rabbi. A Talmud Chacham does not stand in front of his Rebbe. Nikra Rosha, he's called a Rosha, as we're going to see from the pasuk. Ve'enim marach yamim, he won't live very long. Ve'tamudim mishtakeach, and he ends up forgetting, his learning. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'toiv la'yir la'rosha, the Rosha will not have toiv and ein toiv ala Torah. V'lo yarich yamim, and he won't live long. Katzel, he'll be like a shadow which goes away very quickly. Asher einenu yore milifnei helikim, because he does not have fear before Hashem. Now, mora zu eni adam mahu. Now, what does mora mean over here? It doesn't mean, Marsha says, it can't just mean plain old yiras shemayim, because then the expression would be asher einenu yore milifnei Hashem alekim. It should use the word Hashem like as an es Hashem alekach atira. So the fact that it says asher einenu yore milifnei helikim, it doesn't mean just yiras shemayim, it means something else that shows yira. So what is that? Since in connection with standing up for a zokin, it says so now we understand the moda means standing up. So now we understand the posse. The Rosha is not going to have toiv, which is Torah. He's not going to live long, so therefore he's going to forget his Torah and he's going to die young. And it's called a Rosha. Why? Because he doesn't have the yira to stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham. So the question in front of his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, why? We were saying, in other words, that because it says, because in other words, the idea is by standing up for a Talmud Chacham, it says, without Shem Havaya. The Pasuk in Kehelas also doesn't have Shem Havaya, as opposed to, for example, also Shem Alekecha Tira has Shem Havaya, so therefore it can't just mean that. That's what Maharsha says. But the question is, there's other mitzvahs where it also says, maybe it means the fear of Hashem as far as not taking ribis, where it says, and the fear of not using false weights. Now, by false weights, the Pasuk doesn't say, it says, Evan Shlema Batsevet. So Tosfah says, yeah, but where does it say Moira by it? So Tosfos brings a girsa, not mishkolos, but michsholos. The word is michsholos, as in lifne evil, it's michshol, and there it does say v'yoreisim elekecha. Moshe points out that you also have other mitzvahs where it says v'yoreisim elekecha, but he says.
Doesn't Hashem point out by the mishkolos if somebody's time is mishkolos of the melach.
By term mishkolos of malach. But I don't think that. Yeah, term mishkolos of malach. Right, but I don't think it says. Not sure. I don't remember, but I don't know. The Marsha actually asks over here that you have other mitzvahs where it says v'yareisim elekecha as well, and he says those would be included in the maybe that's what you're talking about, that you have a where what does Marsha say over here? He says that. So you have by a nor, it says v'yareisim elekecha. So he says a nor maybe is included in mishkolos, that he's cheating somebody in weights. The term mishkolos of malach is what it says over there. Is it says ani Hashem elekechem asher etzeis yeskam be'eretz Mitzrayim, and Hashem says I was able to be mavkin ben tibah shabachor and not, but it doesn't say the words v'yareisim elekecha. Other Mephoshim explain that what Rashi is referring to is you have like this. The Tosfos right over here brings that what you have like this. It says at the end of Parashas Kisei, it says you have to have honest weight, and right after that you have Zocher es Asher Osav Hamalek. And Rashi brings over there on the pasuk, where a person is dishonest with his weights and measures, then he has to be worried about that Amalek is going to show up and attack. So that's the V'yareisa, not that it says V'yareisa Melekecha, but in other words, there is that concern over there. There is that fear in connection with weights that it can lead to attacks by a molly. Anyway, so how do you know? Maybe it means that the person who's not careful with those mitzvahs is not going to live long and forget his Torah, etc. So the answer is Rav Elazar pnei gomer. The answer is Rabbi Lozer is learning from the fact that it says Pnei. It says, Asher Yenenu Yerenu Milifnei Halakim and Pnei Sevatokum. By those other mitzvahs, you don't have the word Pnei. So therefore, the Asher Yenenu Yerenu Milifnei Halakim has to be a mitzvah where it says V'yareisim Halakafa and where it says the concept of Ponim, and you only find that by standing up for a Talmud Chacham. Now we have a question. What if a person's son is his Rebbe? The son is such a Talmud Chacham that he teaches his father. Does the son have to stand up in honor of his father? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Omle Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda, you were the sharp one, Kum Mikami Avuch, stand up in honor of your father, Rabbi Chezkel. Now, we had yesterday where Rabbi Yehuda actually taught Rabbi Chezkel. We had Rabbi Chezkel was teaching a Mishnah, and he taught the wrong version of it, and Rabbi Yehuda corrected him, and Shmuel said, you shouldn't correct your father in that Lashon, but we see that Rabbi Yehuda taught his father Torah. So therefore, and Shmuel was telling him to stand up for his father. So therefore, we see that the son has to stand up no matter what. But the Gemara says, no, Shiny Rabbi Chezkel, the Baal Maisim Haba. Rabbi Chezkel was different. He had tremendous Maisim Tovim. The Geonim bring that he was a Baal Tzedakah and Sochet Sibur and Midas Tovah. So therefore, that's a reason enough to stand up for him. Shmuel himself would stand up in honor of Rabbi Chezkel, even though, of course, Rabbi Chezkel hadn't taught Shmuel anything. Adarav Shmuel is Rabbi Chezkel's Rebbe. So still, yeah. So the Gemara asks, Elamai Kor Malay. In that case, then why does Shmuel have to tell Rabbi Yehuda to stand up? The answer is Hochikam Alei. What he's telling him is like this. Zimnin de osime achorai. It could happen you, Rabbi Yehuda, are sitting as a Talmud in front of me. Meanwhile, your father, Rabbi Chezkel, might walk by behind me. I won't see him, but you will. Kumat mikamei v'leitecho shli kodin yidi. You stand up in his honor. Don't worry about my kovod. Even though it doesn't seem bekovodik to be honoring somebody else in front of your Rebbe and to be getting up in the middle of the shir, but you see your father walking by. When I don't see him, then you stand up. That's the chiddush in it. Okay, the Gemara mentions Iboy Lahu. Now we have the question the other way around. B'noi v'hu rabbi ma'ush yamid ovim yiponav. Fakir, maybe the father has to stand up in honor of the son. So maybe they have to stand up in front of each other. So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Omri Yeshua ben Levi, ani eni kedai lamin b'nei b'ni. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, I shouldn't have to stand up in front of my son. Elam shum kvoid beis nasi, only because of the honor of the family of the Nasiim, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's son married the daughter of the Nasi. So because of that, I have to honor him. So what does that mean? Taima da nor rabbi. So the implication seems to be Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying, because I'm my son's Rebbe, I taught him Torah. Ho yu rabbi. It sounds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is saying, if my son were my Rebbe, ke'im nimikameh, I would have to stand up in front of his honor. So that would answer that, yes, the father does have to stand up in front of his son if he's his Talmud. The answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Hochakama, ani eni k'day lamin ufnei b'ni klal. I b'chlal shouldn't have to stand up for my son because he's my son. Ba'afilu hu rabbi, even if he's my Rebbe. Dohan no avor, because I'm his father. Elam shum kvoid beis nasi, but because of the honor of the family of the Nasiim, then I'm going to do that. It's brought, by the way, that the Maharam Rutenberg, once he was Olo L'Gdula, once he became a great Rosh Yeshiva and the leader of the Jewish people in his times, his father never visited him again. His father, Reb Baruch, was a Talmud Chacham as well, but he's bothered by this problem over here. My son should have to stand up in front of me when he's the God of Israel. So he never wanted to visit that his son should have to stand up in his honor. So they
can just come when they're standing and dancing. And
maybe that's when Reb Baruch came to see Rebbe. I don't know.
The Rebbe's Melamed came to Shapiro.
That's right. Yeah, you have the story with the Rebbe's Melamed, Valenkin, when he came to the Chiddush the first time. So the Rebbe stood up in his honor, and he didn't want to sit down in front of the Rebbe. So they ended up both standing for the whole Chiddush. I think actually maybe not. I think maybe at some point the Rebbe told him to sit, and he said only if you sit as well. And I forget the exact thing. So maybe they did end up sitting. I don't remember, but yeah. Anyway, So the Gemara says he borrowed the hu. Now we have another question. Rochuv k'mahalach dami eloi. When a person is riding, so suppose the Rebbe is riding on a donkey, is that considered like he's walking by, and therefore you have to stand up to honor him, or not? Maybe you consider like the Rebbe is sitting, and therefore you don't have to stand up in his honor. Now we had the stories before on Amud Aleph. We had, for example, Abaya stood up when he saw Rabbi Yosef's donkey. So Marsha says after that happened after this. First they asked the question in the Gemara. Now we're going to discuss the question and come to an answer. After that, then Abaya started doing that, and he started standing up when he sees Rabbi Yosef's donkey. With that said, there are Mephoshim who understand the question is the other way around. What if the Talmud is riding on a donkey? Does he have to get up? And then does he have to get off the donkey to stand up for his Rebbe or not? Anyway. So Omer Abaya Toshma. So Abaya says we can prove it from the following din. Now we have in the case of a Metzora. A Metzora goes into a house. Everybody in the house becomes Tomei, as if he was a mess. You also have, for that matter, under a tree or things like that. However, it has to be that he's staying in there. If he just walks by under a tree, for example, as we're going to have now the dinim, then anybody else standing under that tree does not become Tomei. The Gemara elsewhere learns it from Psukim over there, that the Mechutza Machna Meshavai, that his Machna itself becomes Tomei. Yeah. Anyway, so Toshmas, we have a Braisa that describes, actually a Mishnah, in the Goyim that tells like this. Hatomei Yoshev Tachas Eilon. Suppose that the Tomei, the Metzora, is sitting under a tree, the Toher Oimed, and a Toher person is standing under the same tree, Tomei, then he'll become Tomei because it's the place, it's the Machna of the Metzora, and because they're both overshadowed by the same tree. Hatomei Oimed Tachas Eilon, but the other way around, even if the Tomei is not sitting there, even if he's standing under the tree, the Toher Yoshev, and the Toher is sitting over there, also, then on the other hand, Toher. No, so if the Tomei is sitting over there, then it's considered as machna. But if he's just standing over there under the tree, then the Toher, it remains Toher. Vim Yoshav Tomei, Vim Yoshav Tomei. But if the Tomei person sits down, Ha Toher Tomei, then the one who becomes Toher, was Toher until now, is now going to become Tomei. V'chein be'evan hamenugas. The same dinim apply to a stone from a house that had saras. Those stones are also matame. Once you have, they take out the stones and they replace the stones and so forth. And then if necessary, they tear down the whole house. So those stones are also matame in the same way. So you have the same din if such a stone is being carried under a tree versus sitting under the tree. You see from this, that somebody who's riding is considered like somebody who's walking by, because the stone itself is not moving. You have an animal or a person or whatever carrying it. So we go according to whoever's carrying it. So like this, in other words, the stone itself is not moving. So if you were to say, why would we say by Evan Amunogas that if it's being carried through versus if the person who is holding it stands there, what's the difference? The difference must be that Rochel Kamahalach, that riding is considered like walking. So therefore, when the stone is riding along on the back of an animal or in the lap of somebody who's carrying it or whatever, then it's in the arms of somebody who's carrying it, then it's considered as though it's walking by. So there you go then. So in that case, Shmamina, so that proves it, that Roch of Kamahalach, and therefore that yes, if your Rebbe is riding by, then you still have to stand up. So now that we answer that question, now after that, then Abaya would stand up when he saw it of Yosef's donkey.
No, but Mahalach,
you
have to stand up.
Yeah, but if the Rebbe is Mahalach, if he's walking by, yeah, you have to stand up. But if he's Yosef, who's just sitting over there, you don't have to stand up. Right. Yeah. Okay. Now we have another question. Mahu lamed ne sefer Torah. Do you have to stand up when a sefer Torah is passing by? Reb Chirki of Reb Simon, Reb Elazar Amri, kavachomer. Yes, you can make a kavachomer and say, of course. Mipnei loim deha oibnim, if you stand up in honor of those who learn Torah. Mipanehal, like Kolshkin, how much more so that you have to stand up in honor of the sefer Torah itself? There is, by the way, a Gemara in Makkos that says almost the other way around. The Gemara in Rava says over there, how foolish are people who stand up in front of a Sefer Torah, but not in front of a Talmud Chacham. Because the Talmud, he gives an example. The Torah says, Aboyim Yakenu, you have 40 Malkus. And the Chachamim explain in Torah Shabbat Peh that it means only 39. So you see the Chachamim, so to speak, can override what it says in the Torah. So if you're honoring the Torah, how much more so the Talmud Chacham? Here we're saying the other way around, that if you honor the Talmud Chacham, how much more so you have to honor the Torah. So how do you reconcile that? There's a number of different ways of explaining, one of them being there can be a Talmud Chacham who teaches people Torah versus the kind who just learns for himself is one answer. You have a difference that we're saying over there. The Gemara does, yeah, we're not saying the Talmud Chacham is greater than the Sefer Torah, but we're saying once that we understand the Talmud Chacham explained the Torah for us, so it's only right. It's not a kavachomer over there in Makkos. It's more a gili milsa ba'alma, almost like it's a given. If you're honoring the Torah, you have to honor those who teach the Torah. And then another answer is that if you're learning the covered of the Sefer Torah, like an Or Gemara from the covered of a Talmud Chacham, then how much more so? Then how is it that people are grabbing the secondary thing, the Torah, and are standing in honor of it, and not in honor of the Talmud Chacham? So you have a few different answers. Okay. The Gemara gives another story in this connection. Rabbi Lai and Rabbi Yaakov bar Zabdi Habu Yasri. Rabbi Lai and Rabbi Yaakov bar Zabdi were sitting together. Cholif v'ozer Rabbi Shimon bar Abba. Rabbi Shimon bar Abba passed by the common kamei, and they stood up in front of him. Omalahu, but he tells them, no, you shouldn't have done that. Choda the atun chakimi v'ano chover. Number one, you're tamar chachamim. I'm only a chover, like a person who's careful with mitzvahs. I'm not a tamar chacham of your caliber. And also you were being oisik batoda when you were sitting over here. Is it right the Torah should have to stand up in front of the people who learn it? So even to the extent I learn Torah, but you yourselves are the Torah because you were discussing Torah at this time. So it means Rabbi Shimon Abba held like Rabbi Lazar. The Amr Rabbi Lazar ain't Taman Chacham. Rashi Laman Pnei Rabbi B'Shasha Oisik BaTorah. Rabbi Lazar says Takabon Taman Chacham is Oisik BaTorah. He's not Rashi. He would again Rashi can mean he's not allowed to. It means he doesn't have to stand up for his Rebbe. However,
on the other hand, what we learned earlier in the different places, they were mocked for it.
So in fact, Layat Allah Abaya cursed and criticized anybody who would follow that statement of Rebbe Lazar and not stand up for his Rebbe just because he's busy learning Torah. You still have to stand up for your Rebbe even then. So now the Gemara mentions here is something in connection with the standing. How far in advance do you have to stand? So before we said four amos, but now we're going to say, and we said Rabbi Muvak is Kimloy Einav. So now you have further details. The Pasuk says that you have the description in Parshas Kisisa after the Chet Ego, Moshe took his oil and put it outside the Machna, and everybody's coming over there. And the Pasuk says, "Bitu Achrei Moshe ad Boyeh Ha'Oyla." They would look and they would gaze with their eyes following Moshe until he comes into the tent. So Rab Ami v'Rab Yitzchak Napcha. They argue, what were they looking at Moshe for? One says they were doing it in a gnai, in a way to insult Moshe, and the other was they were doing it as a praise to Moshe. The one who says it was the gnai is the way it says. Now, the Gemara doesn't want to quote it because it's a big gnai on Moshe, but you find that in a medrash. It actually brings from Medrash Tanchuma. The people would be saying, look at Moshe's legs. Look how fat his legs are. Look how fat his stomach. Look how not his stomach, his neck is. He's eating. He's enjoying himself so much, all on Or Cheshbon. He's taking from us, and that's how he has so much good food. Really, it wasn't. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu became rich from the Luchas Shnias, from the Psalt and Shalachal Yehei, but there were people, there were Litzanim among the Jewish people over there who were using that as a...
I was thinking to myself, it says, "Ragli uham asher noichem mekiel boy." That Moshe derived this question because of the Yid.
Because of the Yid, yeah.
So they said, "Look, Moshe, look how fast he is because of us."
Okay, so maybe there would be people,
so
right? So maybe there would be people who would be justifying themselves that way. We don't mean that he's taking money from us. We mean that his ruchnius comes because of us. But for it again, you know, the Eibishter knows what they mean, and therefore it can be called lignai. Or even if not, the fact that they're expressing themselves. But still, the fact that they're expressing themselves this way is lignai. So that's the thing. The Gemara doesn't even want to quote it. That's why it actually says we have to learn it from Medrash and from Rebbe Tanchuma, what they were saying.
In fact, he went to Shemai for so many days and they didn't eat anything.
Yeah, you still have Litzanim that are able to come up there.
Whenever a Talmud, big Talmud Chacham sees that people are talking about him, so you should learn a lesson from that, that even a Moshe
Rabbeinu has his people who are against him. So that's one. Mando Omer L'Shvach, the one who says that they were doing it as a praiseworthy thing, that would be Omer Chizkia. So Chizkia explains, Omer Reb Chanina Breder Rabahu, Omer Rabahu, Omer Rabdubi Dimin Chefa, Chacham Over, when a regular Talmud Chacham passes by, Oven Melfon of Arba Amos, so you stand up when he gets to your four Amos, like we said before. The Kivin Sha'ova Abra Amos, once he passes by and he's four Amos away from you, Yoshev, then you can sit down. Actually, the Rambam seems to have a different gear. So over here, he says you just need to stand up until he passes you. Once he passes you, once he's behind you, then you can sit down right away. You know, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, that's a regular Talmud Chacham. Av Beistin over, when the Av Beistin passes by, he's on a higher level. Oyman Melafon of Maloy Enov, then you have to stand up when you see him far away, the 266 Amos that we said before. Once he passes by four Amos, Yoshev, then you can sit down. Nasi over, when the Nasi was on an even higher level, passes by, Omen Mephonim Balayenov, you stand up when you see him. The Ena Yoshev, actually Yoshev and Mekoyim. Now you don't sit until the Nossi sits in his place. Shenema, this we learn from the Pasuk. V'hibitu achrei Moshe ad boya ha'ola. They're looking after Moshe, and the earlier in the pasuk it says Yakumu Kolam, in the previous pasuk Yakumu Kolam v'yishtachbu, they would everybody all stand up and bow in honor of Moshe, so they would stay standing ad boya ha'ola until he goes into his tent and they can't see him anymore. That's where we're learning that that's how it works with the Nasi. They have to bring him. So like by Fabring, and everybody would sit. They would sit only in. When the Rebbe would sit, and everybody would sit only when the Rebbe sat down. Yeah. So that's what we're saying. So that's how it is by a Nasi. This is, by the way, a Gemara in Hodias that tells a story that at one point Reb Shimon Gamliel tried to change the Seder of that in the Yeshiva. They were standing up in his honor, he being the Nasi, and for Reb Nosson, who was the Abbasin, and Reb Meir, who was the Chacham, all in the same way. And Reb Shimon Gamliel starts making distinctions over there, and they got insulted. And the Gemara tells a whole story over there of how they tried to get Reb Shimon Gamliel deposed as Nasi, but how in the end they ended up suffering consequences
but
for it.
Kind of
whole...
a question when he was learning about something that he...
Yeah, they tried to add, they said we're going to ask him something in Torah that he doesn't know, and then meanwhile Yaakov heard and over here. Yeah, the whole story. Yeah, the whole story over there. That's there. Yeah.
You saved me.
Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.